Colonel North, good morning.
Great to be with you out there in the heartland of America,
hey,
brother.
Right there, Common Sense USA. I tell you, what's your take on the Newt Gingrich running, getting in? What's your take on
that? I was in the studio last night with Sean Hannity when he made the declaration. I gave him a thumbs up. Look, in my opinion, probably the smartest, most experienced guy running for president of the United States in either party. Remains to be seen how this whole thing shakes out on the Republican side. Tough to take on an incumbent who's on the rise right now, thanks to being the commander-in-chief and having the bully pulpit, and what appears to be, at least, an improving economy. So it makes him tough to beat. I still think he can be, and my personal opinion, he should be.
But Colonel North, it appears that there's some inside stuff coming out regarding Osama bin Laden, and it looks like Leon Panetta, Robert Gates, Hillary Clinton played a huge role in this, and there was apparently quite a tug of war with Valerie Jarrett, of all people, the president's top advisor. Are you hearing anything about all that?
Oh, yeah. And look, here's the part that I do know, that their decision was a bold one. He only really had two choices. He couldn't drop a JDAM on top of the thing, a 2,000-pound bomb from B-1, because the location that Osama bin Laden was in was surrounded by the Pakistani military, and we weren't about to kill a bunch of them in this process. So the only decisions Obama could make was either send in the SEALs or do nothing at all about it. Made a bold decision to send in the SEALs because it was a high-risk mission. The problem with it is how they came about to make the public disclosures they made. And those are the kinds of things that really put us at risk. The idea of conducting this kind of an operation is something that the SEAL team trains for forever. And they've conducted it with almost flawless execution. The problem I've got is they've now put all of the ability to do that at risk. They've put at risk the friends that we do have in Pakistan. And there are some friends out there. There's not enough of them. And we've made basically adversaries out of more people because of the public disclosures. But we've got to be able to continue to do these things. And so you now have guys like John Kerry and Dick Lugar out saying, hey, we won the war in Afghanistan, bring the troops home.
Wow.
Couldn't do these operations without those bases in Afghanistan. And the real message is to the Ayatollahs in Tehran, because we've got these kinds of bases and these kinds of units on either side of Tehran as they go out building their nuclear weapons.
It's Colonel Oliver North on 93.5, 95.3, the New Connect FM. Is Iran our big adversary right now in that region?
No doubt about it. Iran is supporting global terrorism against the United States, radical Islam all over the planet. They're a key ally in places like Damascus, Syria, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, and the kinds of activities that we see being addressed against us in places like Yemen and Bahrain are all being fomented by Tehran. Tehran needs to know the United States has the ability to conduct these things, and our friends in the region need to know that we're not going to put them at risk because we can't keep our mouths shut.
How long have we heard, though, Colonel North, about Iran falling on its own weight? Is that ever going to happen?
Not as long as they continue to pump oil. I mean, they've got out there China and India buying from them. They're basically able to set the world price on oil because all they'd have to do is shut down the Straits of Hormuz as they did back in the 70s and back in the 1980s. And you would find this, we're going to be paying $4 a gallon for gasoline. We'd be paying $8 a gallon for gasoline. And the Iranians are able to control that.
I get the impression, though, that this administration's okay with higher gas prices because they want us to use less.
Yeah, well, I have no doubt that that's a secret policy. They're going to force us to buy electric cars. Bottom line of it is you can't reverse the technology and change the direction of the internal combustion engine that fast. And it's outrageous that they want to screw the American people into this simply by saying we're going to devalue the U.S. dollar and keep us from drilling our own oil and gas and powering ourselves with our own hydrocarbon resources. I think it's outrageous.
Well, if we had something else to go to, I'm not set up to drive less right now. What am I supposed to do?
Well, we've got shale oil. We've got shale gas that we know we can access in this country. We've got clean coal technology to power plants. We could be building more nuclear. And the idea that we're going to be buying foreign-made windmills to power America, you know, my car, which happens to be an SUV, because I got a big family, I got 12 grandkids, my SUV isn't going to be powered by a windmill anytime soon.
Well, and then he goes to Brazil and says something about,
oh, yeah,
you drill. I was spinning around. I couldn't believe it. I said, what about our jobs?
Well, see, I mean, that's the problem with this administration. The naivete of saying, we're going to divulge everything that we knew about this kind of an operation. We're going to give Brazil the energy credits were and the opportunities to drill for oil and gas. And we're going to deny American companies the ability to put Americans to work using our own hydrocarbon energy in this country defies logic. And ultimately, as Newt Gingrich said last night when he made his declaration, a realistic U.S. energy policy is important to the future of this country economically and our own national security. And he's right.
Couple minutes left with Colonel Oliver North, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Okay, future of the Middle East. Any guess? Syria seeming to have all kinds of problems. Yeah. We haven't done anything there. No boots on the ground in Libya. What the heck's the policy in Libya?
Well, you know, yeah, I understand that he's thinking now about making, quote, another speech to the Muslim world, whatever that means. If Obama was going to get up and point the finger, as he should, at Tehran, the Ayatollahs that are fomenting so much of this terror, if he was going to point to the Assad regime in Damascus, if he was going to point to people like Muammar Gaddafi and say, we're going to do something about this, and not, I'm not going to disclose it to you, but those regimes are in jeopardy, I would say, attaboy. If he's going to get up and give another Cairo speech that puts in jeopardy the friends that we do have in the region that we do need, and we need to basically nudge in the direction of a democratic outcome, great. But you know what? I don't hold any hope for that. I think you're going to see, again, the kind of naivete that we saw in the Cairo speech, the kind of indecision and ambivalence we've seen since all of this so-called Arab awakening began back in December last year. And I think you're going to find this administration is really unwilling, because of people like Ms. Jarrett, unwilling to stand up and do the right thing for the American people in terms of national security.